3 months into his tenure, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson spoke at length directly to career employees. That came just days after he called for a 3% reduction in headcount at State and the U.S. Agency for International Development. For reaction, we turn to Ambassador Barbara Stevenson, President of the American Foreign Service Association. Ambassador Stevenson, great to have you on.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
So let's get right to that speech. Now, a couple days ago, I imagine there's a lot of reaction and wondering what really was said or what it all meant. What was your reaction?
I saw an awful lot of potential in what Secretary Tillerson laid out. He talked about the opportunity to really re-examine our processes and to try to get people, get those processes streamlined so that we can refocus on core diplomatic priorities. And then he did a piece where he talked about the satisfaction that comes from delivering on the mission. And I have to tell you, if that's true generally in enterprises, it must be at least 10 times as true for people at the State Department who are deeply motivated by the national security mission and by knowing that they make a difference. So I think he has tapped into something really important, and that I am encouraging all of our folks to make the most of this opportunity to address a series of issues that really people have spoken to me about over the years and have said, I wish we could fix this. I think we have a chance now to fix some of those things.
Give me an example, maybe, of the type of process that can get in the way of efficiently delivering on the mission.
So in the Foreign Service in particular, and there are about 14,000 members of the U.S. Foreign Service at the State Department, about 6,000 specialists and 8,000 of what you would call diplomats, Foreign Service officers. We move around the world every 2 to 3 years. So just think about what that feels like. There is, you know, you pack up everything and everybody, and you move from, you know, Liberia to Yekaterinburg or something. I mean, we move around the world. The processes that are involved in deciding where to move people and then actually cutting the orders and packing people up, approving people for their kids to go to school. Some of our kids have special needs like autism, just like the general population does. All of these involve bureaucratic processes that our members tell us in, because we do actually listen and talk to our members in something called structured conversations. That's their number one pain point. What they tell us is, we love this career, we love the mission, and what great colleagues, but you'd think nobody had ever moved before. The number of times members have actually said that over these lunches is the agony of actually trying to jump through all the hoops to get moved, and we must move. This is what diplomatic services do. We deploy worldwide. We spend two-thirds of our careers, on average, deployed overseas. So the processes that are involved in that, those are a serious pain point, which could be looked at from a really good process engineering point of view, streamlined, made client-centered, and I think the experience then for the Foreign Service would be dramatically better, and Secretary Tillerson would do exactly what he wanted, which is unleash the talent. And, you know, all the time people spend trying to manage those processes could be directed back to core diplomatic priorities. It's a very exciting prospect.
Interesting, because he himself has moved all over the world in his career. So maybe he's got some sort of, simpatico with that whole process.
That's right. When you, I think all of us, many of us read the ExxonMobil book, Private Empire, when our secretary arrived to try to understand where he was coming from. And you're right. ExxonMobil is also a globally deployed force where people spend time in Chad and in Nigeria and in Guinea. And so he does come at this. He has worked with a globally deployed workforce that is more or less the size of ours altogether, because we have locally engaged staff who are also part of this picture, and whom the secretary decided to include in the survey and the listening tour he's doing.
We're speaking with Ambassador Barbara Stevenson, president of the American Foreign Service Association. We should also point out that you are an active career diplomat now, even though you have stepped aside momentarily to take this particular job. Getting to that listening tour, he said he's going to talk to approximately 300 people. What would you tell him if you were one of those 300?
Well, I will be one of the 300, and so I am going to talk about the opportunity to clean up the processes and to actually share what members have said over the course of more than 20 structured conversations about how they experience these as pain points and the potential to clean them up. I'm going to also really urge us to seize this opportunity to put in place a comprehensive risk management framework. This has been a huge issue for us over recent years, and we can look at industry best practice and get that embedded into our operations, and we can do a much better job of balancing the risks that are inherent in being deployed overseas, including to some really difficult and often even dangerous places, with the need to get the mission done. And we in the Foreign Service are determined that we will manage that risk so that we can be out in the field. As we often say, to lead, because we say we have to provide the underpinning of America's global leadership role. To lead, we must be present, and to be present, we have to manage the risks smartly. So I think there's a real opportunity to address risk management. And then finally, I think there's an opportunity in a listening tour like this to reintroduce the Foreign Service. We're such an unusual service. We work off a very different structure than the great bulk of our colleagues in the federal government. We're only 16,000 strong, and we're built on the Foreign Service Act. We come in at entry level and work our way through like the Marines or the Navy, and we face a rigorous up or out system where those who were rank ordered by promotion every year and those who don't score high enough run out of time and are forced out of the service. And so most people's careers end long before they're ready for them to. However, it ensures a very lean, high-performing force that is highly accountable to, you know, mission directives. So this is a real opportunity to get to really focus on what an essential tool the sure. Foreign Service is for the National Security Toolkit, and to really make the most of it. Because, you know, 9 in 10 Americans favor strong American global leadership. And that leadership is unthinkable without a strong Foreign Service deployed all around the world. We keep that American flag flying in 270 missions around the world. And that means that Americans who are overseas for all kinds of reasons, maybe they're adopting a child or studying, or maybe they're trying to expand a business, all of them have a home base that they come to that's staffed with people like me, genuine Americans, but I also speak that local language, know how to get things done in that country, and I'm there to have the backs of my fellow Americans. That is what global leadership is built on, and we have to come out of this reorganization with that fully intact and operating with less sand in the process gear.
Sure. How is the information technology support that diplomats get?
We have some terrifically talented people working in that area, and I think I have a very strong hunch, having listened to them, that they will welcome the idea because they're systems thinkers, they're first-order systems thinkers, and I think they would welcome this approach the Secretary laid out yesterday to look at what are we trying to accomplish and how would we best accomplish it. I don't believe anybody would give us an A-plus on the way our information technology serves the mission now.
Got it. And the Secretary has called for a 3% headcount reduction in State Department. Do you believe that's achievable, consistent with better delivering on the mission, as he's described?
So there is a lot of trepidation about this, and I'll tell you why. I mean, all institutions have their histories, and one of ours in the Foreign Service in particular, with this peculiar upper-out system that holds us so accountable. I mean, we're like the military or the Marine or the Marines or the Navy. We went through a period in President Clinton's first administration where hiring was cut back to almost nothing. And a dozen years later, the Foreign Service was asked to step up and staff huge numbers of positions in our embassies in Baghdad and Kabul. We did manage to do that with all volunteers, but at the cost of 25% vacancy rates at posts around the world. So that was an extremely traumatic experience for all of us. So we approached the idea of freezing or stopping hiring of new recruits with enormous trepidation. But that also motivates us to point to where we perhaps have got functions we don't need to do or people staffing processes that once they were streamlined and improved, might not require so many people, because if we're going to need to make a reduction, you know, in our headcount, we need to be sure that we do not cut core diplomatic capability or cripple our ability to field a Foreign Service team 10 years down the road. You can't grow a colonel overnight, and you can't grow an FS1, as we call it, overnight either. The only way to grow them is to start them at the beginning.
Ambassador Barbara Stevenson is president of the American Foreign Service Association. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
We should also point out that today is Foreign Service Day, taking place in the C Street lobby of Maine State. And a moment of silence for fallen State Department comrades will take place at noon local time at outposts throughout the world, a kind of rolling moment of silence.